in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The global COVID-19 crisis has robbed South African and all-African boxing champion Rowan Campbell of a shot at a world title. For now, the 26-year-old Campbell was due to fight Russia's Evgeny Shvedenko for the vacant IBO super middleweight belt in Germany at the end of March. But Campbell isn't known as Braveheart for nothing, and he says the setback has made him even more determined to win a world title for Africa. Darren Taylor reports from Johannesburg.
This kid can fight. Please welcome to Emperor's Palace, Rowan Campbell!
Campbell's most memorable bout happened last August when he fought Patrick Mukala of the Congo. It happened at Emperor's Palace near Johannesburg, but the number of Mukala supporters in the crowd made it feel more like Kinshasa.
Everyone is rooting for him. The South African-Congo rivalry is quite big in boxing because there's a lot of Congolese which come to South Africa to fight.
Mukala was challenging Campbell for the IBO All-Africa Super Middleweight Championship.
That was my first major fight where everyone thought I was going to lose.
But the South African's aggressive style, bolstered by his stamina, speed, and renowned power punching, resulted in a technical knockout in round 8, and Mukala's challenge was over. Then, in November, Campbell was pitted against another respected South African boxer, Nicholas Radley.
That was a catchweight, so I was the South African super middleweight champion, and he was the South African light heavyweight champion. And they wanted to see who was the best out of the two of us. So I came up to fight him, and then I ended up knocking him out in the fourth round.
Campbell was rewarded for his record of 12 pro fights, 12 victories, 8 via knockouts, with an opportunity to fight Russia's Evgeny Shvedenko for the IBO world title. But then the coronavirus pandemic swept the world. Campbell says he sank into a week of depression when the match was called off.
It really affected me because, of course, I wanted the world title. The doors it would have opened, even on the ranking system, they would have put me on the top 20 in the rankings, possibly. That's a big thing for a South African.
He says he'd felt in supreme shape and confident that he'd beat Shvedenko.
Now, we don't know if it's postponed or if it's cancelled, which also makes it so hard, is there's no clarity to what's coming up in the future.
But Campbell insists he's not going to sulk.
Let's say this whole virus ends in 2 months. You might get like a month notice to go fight.
He says he'll be ready for his crack at the world IBO super middleweight belt, even though South Africa is in the middle of a 21-day lockdown aimed at slowing the spread of COVID-19.
We're not allowed to really run here and stuff like that, but the police and the military haven't been too strict around my area, so I have managed to stay active. I have a whole bunch of weights. I've been skipping a lot, and I have like a bag at home. So I've been hitting it quite often and training quite regularly.
Campbell says the South African boxing scene was blossoming before the virus stalled it.
We have Kevin Lorena, who's the IBO cruiserweight champion, who's doing unbelievably. We have Tabiso Mchunu, who's also in the cruiserweight division, who's doing great. We have so many great fighters that had so many opportunities coming up. And there's so much competition at the moment, which is also great because competition helps fighters just better themselves. We just needed to get overseas a bit more. There's only a certain level you can reach here in South Africa. You want to go to America or Britain, you know?
He says he's 100% sure that a South African boxer will soon make a big international breakthrough.
Every South African's kind of a fighter. We kind of like, from what we see here, like the Mexicans. South Africans love to fight. So I think in a couple of years' time, South Africa will be regarded as a Mexico in regards to boxing.
At the moment, it's Campbell who's first in the queue of South African pugilists, waving their sombreros and blowing their vuvuzelas, desperate to prove themselves to the world. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Hello, listeners. This is Masembe Isaac, silver medalist from All Africa Games 2019. Listen to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
The president of the Nigeria Wrestling Federation says he supports the decision to postpone the Tokyo Olympics to 2021. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, former Olympic champion Daniel Igali said the health of the athletes and officials is first and foremost.
Considering the current realities, I think the decision of the organizing committee of the 2020 Olympics and the IOC to postpone the Olympics by a year was the best decision to have been made. I know it disrupts the plans of the athletes and officials, but above all, safety is paramount, and I think that's what they've taken into consideration. And I really want to applaud the IOC and the organizing committee of the 2020 Olympics for this wise decision.
Does the new date suit the program and plans of the Nigeria Wrestling Federation for the Olympic Games?
Well, without a doubt, the Olympics were supposed to have taken place this year, so having been postponed by a year, no one can claim that it suits their purposes. But it's not peculiar to just Nigeria. This is a worldwide issue, so we all have to just adapt to it and move on. But we will, as time goes on, get the views of the International Federation and their schedule for the year, and the Nigerian program will be tailored according to the international program as well.
Prior to the suspension of the Games, your federation had plans to qualify more athletes. Are you still on course?
Before the scare of COVID-19 and the eventual postponement of the qualifying, the Africa Oceania qualifying Olympic tournament in Morocco, we had only qualified one athlete, Oduwanyi Adekore, in the 57 kilogram class. But we were on course, or I would rather say we had plans to qualify between 4 and 6 more athletes to join Oduwanyi. That was the plan of the federation. So yes, we had plans, and we were pretty sure that we were going to match our expectations, but it didn't pan out. So that is still on course. Whenever the epidemic dies down and it's safe for us to continue our competitions, I'm very sure the International Federation will come out with a schedule, and the Olympic qualifiers will be rescheduled, and I'm sure maybe almost at the end of the year we'll be back competing again.
Are you in contact with your athletes and officials, especially with the new date fixed for the Olympic Games?
All athletes and officials, especially those on the national team, are aware of the new dates. We sent out circulars to every state alerting them of the new dates of the Olympics and also of the dangers of COVID-19. We've given them very proper guidelines on what to do, especially to stay away from the mats. We don't want any physical contact for the time being. They're supposed to self-isolate. They're supposed to observe all the basic hygiene. And the last information I have is that the International Wrestling Federation is even going to be sending us some protective gear. I'm sure it will be hand gloves and face masks and stuff will be coming our way very soon. So once that happens, we're going to send it to all our national team athletes and coaches as well.
That's Daniel Igali, the president of the Nigeria Wrestling Federation. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Yenagoa, Nigeria.
Hi, my name is Daniel Igali, president of the Nigeria Wrestling Federation, world and Olympic champion. I want to say a big shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
My Voice of America colleague, Gwen Uten, joins us now with a report on a documentary that premiered Wednesday about the life of Senegalese football star Sadio Mane. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The documentary called Sadio Mane, Made in Senegal, chronicles the life of the Liverpool forward, his memories of growing up in the small village of Bambali, and the loss of his father at 7 years old. Mane spoke on the day of the premiere from his home near Liverpool, England, and explained how his childhood inspired him to always give back to his home village.
It has been always something I thought about since when I was young. In my mind, wanted to do something and for my village, because I born there and I grew up there. I know all the reality of my society, especially my family. And it's a really, really small village. I know the condition of life not optional, which is very, really sad for not Bambari, for all around the village, because they're struggling with the same problem as the school as well. Some don't know why to study, and as a human being, I think, today has a role model. I think it's really important to do something for those people who really need it, and my family as well.
Mane has been a steady benefactor in his village and has provided funding toward the construction of hospitals, schools, and mosques in Senegal. Most recently, he donated the equivalent of $50,000 to help his country during the coronavirus pandemic.
It's a really, really, really tough moment for not Senegal, but for all the world. And I think which is really important to stick together and fight to do the best and fight against this sickness, which is really, really bad. I think if everybody try to do, not saying, but try to do something which is can help the country or the world, I think, and to make what is the best for people.
Mane says his desire to provide for his community began at a very young age, as did his desire to play football. And he says in the beginning, his family needed some convincing.
No one told me I would become a football player, and especially my mom. My mom never, ever dreamed, and she never told in her life I can become a football player, because for her, it has something... She prefers something better than football. For me, I just waste my time. And I can say from that, I never doubt. And it was my dream is to, especially to become a football player for sure.
Mane is now one of the best players in the sport and plays for the best team in the Premier League. Liverpool currently sits at the top of the league table with a 25-point lead. The Reds were only 2 victories away from clinching the title before the coronavirus outbreak suspended all play and halted their run. Mane says he will accept if the club has to extend their wait for the trophy, but the outbreak won't erase Liverpool's remarkable season.
It has been an unbelievable season for me and my teammate, and we are 25 points, which is incredible. And I think if the season continues, we might win the Premier League for sure, but right now, so a bit complicated with the situation, and everybody knows that. And hopefully the season will not avoid, and Liverpool will be calling at the end of the season. And for me, to add Premier League again, I think it will be amazing.
Mane says he and the Liverpool team do a virtual check-in once a week to stay connected. And he is staying connected to the game of football and is never far from the pitch.
You know, someone like me or someone else, if I said, or they sacrificed everything for football, I think should be normal, because I never try to get the tired or try to put tiredness in the head or just get lazy, which is that I should give everything possible to football, which is I have to first of all be always fit and to give all necessary things to be fit, like training hard, sleep on time, and be as professional as possible. It's what I'm trying to do every single time. And right now, I think, I'm training every one day, so every 2 days.
Mane says his dream is to win the Africa Cup with his national team and become the first African player since George Weah to win the Ballon d'Or. And, of course, he hopes to lift the Premier League trophy. Sonny, UEFA President Alexander Seferin said there is no way Liverpool will not be crowned English champions, even if the season does not resume. And he issued a warning to leagues that if they end their season early without permission, they could face a ban from European competition next season. And that is all from me. I'll hand it back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. World Athletics says the track and field world championships, originally scheduled for August 2021, have been moved back 11 months to July 2022. The move was made to avoid clashing with the Tokyo Olympics, which also were delayed because of the coronavirus outbreak. The next World Athletics Championships will be held July 15th to July 24th, 2022, in the northwestern U.S. city of Eugene, Oregon. I encourage our VOA listeners to check out Jim Stevenson's weekly Game Room podcast via voanews.com. Jim began his latest Game Room with Olympic news.
Flame was handed over from Tokyo 2020 organizers to the government of Fukushima Prefecture Wednesday in a ceremony at the J Village Training Center. Tokyo 2020 Chief Operating Officer Yukihiko Ninomura handed the lantern containing the Olympic flame to Makoto Noji, the Fukushima prefectural official in charge of sports and culture. Ninomura said the flame will stay on display in Fukushima for 1 month. Exhibit the Tokyo 2020 Olympic Flame, which is a light of hope for humanity, with a wish that the flame can safely and happily depart from J Village in Fukushima Prefecture through this long tunnel to the Tokyo 2020 torch relay next year. Noji said the flame has added symbolism during the fight against the coronavirus. Right now is facing the unprecedented chaos of the new coronavirus. But by working together with people in and outside of Japan, we hope to overcome this. We are convinced that as a light of hope, the torch departing here from J Village next year will illuminate the path of hope for many with a powerful message that we can overcome any chaos. The J Village in Fukushima was chosen as a starting point of the relay, as a symbol of recovery from the 2011 earthquake and tsunami that devastated the region. President Donald Trump says he remains confident sports will be back very soon.
I just spoke with the commissioners, leaders of, I would say, virtually all of the sports leagues. These are all the great leaders of sport, and they want to get back. They got to get back. They can't do this The sports weren't designed for it. The whole concept of our nation wasn't designed for it. We're going to have to get back. We want to get back soon, very soon.
President Trump confirmed he spoke with the commissioners of the main American sports leagues, including U.S. Major League Baseball, the National Football League, the National Basketball Association, the National Hockey League, and the PGA Tour, among others.
This is a national crisis. We're in a wartime situation. If you're a star that's earning over £100,000 a week, if you didn't earn a penny for the next 3 months, you'll be okay.
UK politicians are threatening to impose a windfall tax on English Premier League clubs if their star players don't agree to take pay cuts to help teams survive during the coronavirus crisis. Steve Bryan is a member of Parliament.
We have nothing against the Premier League. We have nothing against the clubs at all. We know they do great work in the communities. We know that the players do great work in the communities all the time, and they are right now during this crisis. Where I think we have an issue is some of the clubs taking taxpayers' money to furlough their non-playing staff while still paying the big stars the big bucks. And when you're in a situation where the average Premier League salary is now over £3 million a year, you've got people at Man City earning over £130,000 a week, when we've got many of our constituents right now not knowing where the next pound is coming from, doesn't feel like we're in together. So what we're saying is, Premier League, the ball, the clubs, the ball is in your court, no pun intended. You've got a chance to do the right thing here. Your moral obligation, we would say, to do the right thing, but we're calling on the Chancellor to reserve the right to take back the money if they don't do the right thing.
In Europe, Barcelona and Atletico Madrid players have taken a 70% pay cut, while Juventus players in Italy and their manager have agreed to freeze their pay for 4 months.
Bayern, Juve, Barca have all taken pay cuts for their top stars. Harry Redknapp, one of the best-known managers in the English game, has said that should happen. And I agree with him. And I don't think the Premier League have been shown up. I think what's going to happen is the Premier League are going to catch up with our European counterparts. And I think they're going to do the right thing. And if we've helped along the way with that, then happy days.
Hello, I support International Day of Sports for development and peace.
Some Premier League players are hoping to inspire people at home to exercise and remain active. Manchester United's Marcus Rashford and Liverpool's Trent Alexander-Arnold put club rivalry to one side to support a Be Active at Home campaign.
We have to keep our distance, but we can't lose our focus.
We can show solidarity by being active.
And active means following the guidelines from the World Health Organization.
And active means to play your part every day.
The campaign was launched on the United Nations International Day of Sport for Development and Peace at the beginning of April and was created by FIFA, United Nations, and the World Health Organization.
We see our differences, but we stick together, we are stronger.
Be active today,
remain positive, and remain strong. Let's go.
The video recommends all healthy adults do at least 30 minutes a day of physical activity and children at least 60 minutes per day. It also has suggestions on how to stay healthy at home, including dancing and online exercise classes.
Let's go.
Indoor skydiving is one sport that involves minimal contact with others. Renowned indoor skydiver Maya Kudzinska of Poland has utilized a background in gymnastics to create memorable routines that helped her become indoor skydiving junior world champion in 2015.
When I just fly for fun, I get this like intense just happiness and calm. But then when I, for example, train for competitions, it's more of this nervous excitement. There's always happiness.
Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports. We'll be right back.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation of the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.